The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
This is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock. Now, in recent weeks here, we have been trying to raise funds for Ireland's children's hospitals. And if you go to newstalk.com/go an extra mile, you can find out all about our campaign. You can donate to those children's hospitals and you can register for our 5k fun run, whether you're a walker or a jogger or a mix of both. The whole point of this is fun, and it's happening on Saturday week, and we want to see as many of you there as possible. So do register. Go to newstalk.com/go an extra mile and you can register and you can donate. And since we started this campaign, we've been inundated with messages from people who, let's be honest, have been unlucky enough to rely on the services of those children's hospitals. And one of them is Claire Riley. Claire's son is a former patient of Temple Street Children's Hospital, and Claire joins me now on the line. Claire, you're very welcome to the show, and thanks so much for giving us your time. Can you tell us a little bit about your son, about Aina?
Oh yeah, certainly. Thank you very much. He was 8 weeks old when he became unwell. He just turned 2 last week, and we're very lucky that he was able to do that, because he initially presented with an RSV, which is a normal respiratory infection, but he was only 8 weeks old, and he got progressively worse. He was meant to get his vaccinations that morning, and I remember thinking the GP probably won't give him his vaccination because he had a bit of a cold, or so it looked. Anyway, he got progressively worse. I went to the GP. The GP didn't give him his vaccinations, oddly enough, and sent us to Temple Street. And then from there, we ended up representing a Temple Street emergency department 3 times, because with RSV, it only requires supportive care. So they just need to give him oxygen, they need to tube feed him, but they need to wait until he became unwell enough to require those things, or hopefully get better by himself. But unfortunately, he didn't. So we did represent 3 times, and on the 3rd time they admitted us through the emergency department into Temple Street, and he did require tube feeding, he did require supportive care, oxygen, things like that. And and then a couple of days into admission, he became even more unwell. He started to spike temperatures, and if it wasn't honestly for the care of one particular nurse one night on the respiratory ward, her name was Denise, that she spotted him becoming even more unwell, and she chased blood cultures and things like that, and he was diagnosed then with pneumococcal sepsis, which you don't get once kids have had a pneumococcal vaccine, but of course he was too young to have received that.
Yeah.
He just missed that vaccine. So I think, like any mum or dad out there, when their kids are unwell and they're only 8 weeks old, you're in a bit of a daze. And I am a healthcare worker, and I've worked in respiratory care for 20 years, and I didn't spot the signs, and I was... They were so good to me. They held my hand through all of the unwellness and through all the procedures, the lumbar punctures, all the examinations. And they really did. They just guided you. And the care they gave is just spectacular. And I often think back to the care I received as a parent and the care my child received as a patient. And I wonder, do I reflect that in my own practice every now and again? I wonder, am I as good as they were? Because they were just simply amazing.
That's interesting you say about the care you received as a parent, because listening to you, I'm struck, like, that's such a big part of their job that they do in Temple Street and Crumlin and elsewhere, isn't it? It's not only treating the child, it's managing the parents. And I mean that in a good way, but do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yes.
The parents are going to be terrified. Like, I've been through Temple Street as well, and we were terrified. Everyone, it's natural to be terrified.
Oh, and they were brilliant at it. You are a unit, you know, and your decision-making processes and things that are unit. And I think healthcare workers themselves can be much harder to deal with as parents, because I was really acutely aware of that, because I didn't want to become that parent who knew a little bit but not enough. And I didn't want to influence care, because I knew I was in the best possible hands. And Dr. Vash was our consultant. And, you know, I had so much confidence in her, abilities, and she just guided us through it. But, yeah, it is managing expectations and managing that kind of, I didn't realise how unwell he was until after the event, because they just managed my expectations. Each step was a different step on the ladder to a diagnosis, was a different step on the ladder to getting better, and that's just how they managed it. It was fantastic care.
That is another feature of it, isn't it? And I know all the other parents listening to this who maybe have similar-ish stories in the children's hospitals, there's that come down, isn't there, when you get home and it kind of hits you what everyone has just been through.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember I I probably, when I look back, I said, what did I do? But I decided to go to my own Christmas party, our own team Christmas party, and I met our consultant. And he said, what was wrong with your son, Claire? I said, well, he had a pneumococcal sepsis. And she goes, my goodness, the mortality is massive. And I think it was only until that moment that I realised that I really could have lost him if it wasn't for the spectacular care that I got. And the spectacular gut instincts of a great nurse on a ward, I mean, cannot be under, I'm not a nurse, by the way, but cannot be understated, that it just took one person to go, actually, he's not right. And I'm not sure if he'd been at home, would I have been good enough to have picked it up?
It's like when you hear stories like that. I mean, they're life affirming. I used the word terrifying earlier. They are kind of scary stories to a degree. But I mean, they're life affirming as well, aren't they?
Yeah, and these people are specialists for a reason. We need to preserve that kind of specialism in care, because once you see something like that repetitively, you know, then you do become better at picking it up and better at understanding the patient that needs to be chased and the patient that needs to, you know, sit back and have care, you know. But I see it every day. That's, you know, the care that we provide in specialist services is fantastic. And these people are special because they can spot that. They can spot the small difference in a patient that goes, oh, actually, this patient isn't getting better, or this patient is.
And Ian as well now?
He is, a typical two-year-old boy.
That bad.
Lots of no's, no. But I just think his birthday was last week, and I just think, I'm so lucky. And every year I'm so lucky. And every time I pass Temple Street, I think, if it wasn't for every special person in there.
Yeah, well, listen, a huge thank you then to, well, Denise in particular, the nurse in the ward.
Yeah, the nurse Denise, second name I never got, worked in the respiratory ward, and Dr. Vash, who was our consultant, who was just brilliant again at managing, you know, a very nervy mum.
Yeah.
A very tired and a very nervy mum.
Well, Denise, if you're listening, we don't know your surname, but Denise from the respiratory ward from a couple of years ago, who gave such impeccable treatment of Aina, and of course Aina's mum Claire as well, who needed it just as much. Claire, a pleasure to speak to you, and thanks a million for getting in touch.
Not at all. Thank you very much. Thank you.